Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Particularly, I want to express a happy Mother's Day to my wife, Beth, the mother of our children, and my mother-in-law, Grace Stephen. Happy Mother's Day to her. And certainly to my own mother, a very happy Mother's Day to you, Mom. And we're actually going to be talking a little bit about my mom, and I thought on Mother's Day it might be fitting to do so. And so today I took some time to think and reflect back on my mother's life and some of the faith lessons that I've learned. Now, I'm only going to share a few faith lessons from my mother with you this morning. There are certainly many more, but you're just going to get four this morning. That's all we have time for. But let me tell you a little bit about my mom first. And so I'm going to give you a brief overview. My mom's name is Shirley. She was born Shirley G. And she was born in 1936. And she is the oldest of eight children. And she came from a big family. They were a farming family, and they lived in Victoria Square in Richmond Hill. So if you're familiar with Richmond Hill, their farm is now where Elgin Mills Cemetery is. So if you're familiar with that area. My mom grew up, you guys okay with the slides, or you can put that first picture up if you want. There we go. These are old pictures. So that's not, I don't know if we can brighten the lights a little bit, but that's 1974. We'll get there in a minute. So my mom grew up in a mainline church. And didn't really kind of become a believer until she was a teenager. Her parents actually discovered Jesus sort of outside the teaching of the church, interestingly enough. And they moved from that church to what in the church still exists now, Markham Bible Chapel, which is a very evangelical church and preaches and teaches Jesus. And that transition happened because my grandfather, my mom's father, was the Sunday school superintendent and wanted to bring in curriculum for the Sunday school that taught about Jesus, and was a David C. Cook and very evangelical, whatever, and they were asked to leave the church. So it was really strange, and so for them they went through this interesting transition, and a lot of in the family they started to discover like a real relationship with Jesus. And as I said, they ended up at Markham Bible Chapel and went there. For my grandparents went there until they passed away, and until my mother was married, she attended there. My mom became a teacher after high school, went to what was called normal school, I think it was called, and became a teacher and was teaching in her early 20s. My mom wouldn't meet my father, which is, he's in the picture there, for several years, and then they were married when she was 29 and my dad was 32. And they were married in 1965. They had me 5 years later in 1970 and my brother in 1972. And the picture that's up here is 1974. That's Christmas. So I'm four. Pretty slick plaid pants with the white belt, eh? Pretty good. Yeah. 1974. Not long after my brother actually was born, a year or two after my brother was born, my dad took sick with what's called polyarteritis nodosa. This is a serious inflammation, inflammatory blood vessel disease. And my father ended up being in and out of hospital for about 2 years, and he passed away in October, November of 1975. So this is Christmas of 74. This might be one of our last sort of family pictures, because my dad spent a lot of time in Sunnybrook Hospital the last year of his life. When my father passed away, my mom and dad had been married for 10 years, and I was five and my brother was three, so a year on from that. My mom took leave from work when my brother was born and ended up extending that as my dad took ill and then nearing the end of his life, and after that, she didn't go back to work for a few years as she was raising two young boys. Certainly this all had significant impact on her. Of course, my brother and I are so young, we really don't understand what's going on in her adult world. But I'm sure know that it took a significant impact on our family income. My dad worked in a hardware store. There wasn't any big pension or big insurance payouts or anything like that. Thankfully, my father had built their home, and they had a little bit of money that they owed on it, but they owed it to my grandparents, so that wasn't an issue. So that was fine. We at least owned our home. But times were thin, and money was short. And after a number of years, my mom went back to work. And unfortunately, she had been off from teaching long enough that she was no longer going to be grandfathered into her original education that would allow her to continue to be a teacher. So she could no longer be a teacher. And instead, she went back into the school as an education assistant, which she enjoyed, but that's not the same pay grid, as you may know or can imagine. And so that was hard, losing a husband, losing really her career. That was tough, and then dealing with, of course, all the stress of everything. Needless to say, we didn't have much growing up, but we relied on the generosity of church family. We were very, very involved in our church. And we went to Richvale Bible Chapel, which was in Richmond Hill. And I can remember Christmas presents showing up from people, you know, other people. I and my brother went to Madiba summer camp, and for many, many years, and my mother never paid for us to go to camp. Either the church or couples in the church or other families would pay for us to go to camp until I was 15 years old, at which point I went on staff. So that was pretty cool. And sometime in my late teens, my mom had some more health issues and had to take a leave off of work. And then a few years after that, so this is us. I don't know when this is, but this is early 80s. So I don't know, I might be 12 there. Yeah, so that's that picture. And then sometime in the 80s, probably not long after this picture was taken, we had an oil furnace in our home, and the block where the fire happens cracked. Just a little crack, but a little bit of soot and a little bit of fume was going into our home. But we didn't really know because it was so minute. But after a long time of this, this took a major impact. My mom's at home, and this took a major impact on her health as well. And this has long-term implications even to this day. And that brings us, you know, there's all kinds of things that happened. When Beth and I were married, we moved my mother out of that house, and she moved to a house in Markham. We lived in Richmond Hill, moved to Markham. And she lived there until just about a year ago, and we moved her into a retirement residence in Bradford. And my mom is now 88 years old, and, an incredible woman. And that's a pretty recent picture, my brother and myself and my mom. My mom's actually really small. I look like a giant in that picture. Maybe I'm closer to the camera. I don't know. Through my mom's whole life, all I ever saw of her was a woman who clung to God, raised my brother and I to do the same. She had an unwavering faith. She ran a difficult race, probably more difficult than some of us, certainly more difficult than my life so far has been. And she's still running it. And she has run it well. And so I share a little bit of this because this brings some context to some of the lessons that I want to share with you as you understand a little bit about what my mother's life was like. So as you know, our sermon title this morning is Running the Race Well, Faith Lessons from My Mother. And so that's where we're going to go. Our theme verse is 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. In our sermon in a sentence, if we could boil this all down into a sentence, is consider the life of someone who has lived a committed life to Jesus Christ, has run the race well. We too can live our life that way. So that's where we're going. We can live our life as we consider that. In our four faith lessons we're going to look at this morning, are God's word is the authority for understanding and making decisions, an absolute commitment in reading God's word and spending time in prayer. Number three, we run to God, not away from God, when we are dealt blows in life. And number four, God provides wisdom for life through others, and we must invite them in. So let me just pray, and then we'll jump into our four lessons. Father, thank you for our mothers. And thank you for the incredible lessons, countless lessons, Father, that we learn from our mothers on all aspects of life. And Father, this morning, as we celebrate our mothers, as we thank them, as we just show appreciation, Father, we're grateful that you have created family, that you have created mothers and fathers and family unit for us to live in and for us to benefit from and to be blessed by. And Father, thank you certainly for me, and I'm sure for most here, our mothers have been a significant cause to our flourishing, and we thank you for that. And I'm grateful for my mother. I'm grateful for my wife, who is a mother to our children and all that she is to them and to others. And we're just so thankful for mothers, Father. Thank you. And as we just take some time this morning to think about what lessons we can learn and apply to our life, we just pray that you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So our first faith lesson is this, that I learned from my mother. God's word is the authority for understanding and making decisions. And I brought my Bible up here because this is a pretty significant thing in my mother's life, and it's become a significant thing in my life. And the sense that this is the authority in life was a cornerstone principle and lesson that I learned from my mother. And the scripture that I have is 1 Timothy 3:15-17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know that those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, for every lesson, I want to share some scripture. I want to tell you a quick story of my mom, and then there'll be a couple of points, and then what our actual faith lesson takeaway is. So the story of my mom in terms of scripture and authority and going to scripture for wisdom. And we would always be kind of brought to scripture for things. My mom was that was who she was. Like, what does the Bible have to say about what we're dealing with in our family or in our circumstances? And one such story I have, I was in grade 9, and there was this girl in grade 10 who liked me and wanted to go out. Mm-hmm. Now, you see what I look like when I'm 12. A little bit of progression, but not a whole lot. So this was very exciting, and she was nice, not as nice as my wife. But in my grade 9 memory, and I thankfully had a decent enough relationship with my mom and went to my mom, what do I do? How's this work? Like, this girl wasn't a believer. And so I was trying to figure out, like, how's this work? What's this about? And so my mom, very graciously, we went to scripture and worked through, well, what would even be the purpose of dating right now? What is the overall purpose of dating? You know, if that's supposed to have something to do with marriage, and, you know, when we get married, it's important for certain kind, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we went through all these principles and all these different things and determined that at that time and all the circumstances that kind of played out, that this wasn't God's will for me at this time. And it's interesting because I did really want to do this. But because of my mom's example, because of her teaching, and because I was seeing that sort of lived out before me, that was a decision point for me. Because am I gonna make this the authority of my life, or only when it kind of agrees with what I want to do? And my mom doesn't work like that. It's the authority or it's not. You don't get to pick and choose when and in what circumstances. And so that was a significant thing. And so anyways, it didn't go anywhere, obviously. So anyways, my mother's Bible was absolutely, for my mother, the Bible, pardon me, was absolutely the Word of God and had authority and was without errors and was something that can be applied to her life. My brother and I were taught from a young age that we need to look to God's Word for wisdom and answers. And for me, through some of those, you know, sort of life moments and making that decision myself, the Bible has been a wonderful true north to my compass of life. It is so great to know what north is when you're trying to find your way. If you don't know what north is, I don't know how you live. I don't know how you find your way. I don't know how you make decisions. And so I really appreciate learning that from my mother. And certainly knowing and memorizing Scripture was a priority and important in our home. My mother enrolled us in an Awana program. Some of you may have heard of that. And very cornerstone to that program is Scripture memorization. And so we memorized lots of Scripture. And my mom would help us with that. And so the faith lesson here for me, and I would put out to you, is accepting the doctrine of scriptural authority for your life. And we need to understand that Scripture, or that doctrine, would say that Scripture is the absolute authority, that Scripture is inerrant. It's rooted in the doctrine of God, so it's fully trustworthy. Everything we have here has come through God's hand and is exactly what we're supposed to have. We assert that the Scriptures are wholly true, both in the Old Testament, Scriptures of Jesus, the Apostles, the New Testament, all of that. And Scripture's inerrant in all the copies that we have to this day. And this inerrancy means that all things that the Scriptures assert function with the authority of God as His own word to us as believers. And so that was my faith lesson, that as a teenager, that, okay, Scripture is authority. Number two was absolute commitment in reading God's Word and spending time in prayer. So the first one kind of leads into the second one. The Scripture for this is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to it, to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And again, this Bible was so significant, the authority of it, and then reading it and spending time in it. Because if it is the authority of life and it is our true north, we need to know what it says, what it is. Now, my story of mom for this is that I remember vividly over and over again finding my mom in her room or somewhere in the house, and she'd be reading her Bible or praying. And she was very, very committed. My mom is an incredibly disciplined woman, like, very disciplined. You never went and relaxed in the living room till all the dishes were done and everything's like very, everything was, I mean, I can remember the car went in the garage every night, right? Like, you get cake, clean out the garage, cars, like, and some of those things I have, maybe not to the same degree, certainly on the dishes front, you can ask my family about that one. But my mom was very disciplined, and her Scripture reading and her time of prayer was a very consistent, disciplined thing in her life. It was common for my brother and I to find her reading her Bible. Family devotions were a consistent practice. She was very disciplined in this practice, and I remember handling my mom's Bible from time to time. It was worn and well read, with most of the pages marked up. That was a powerful reality for me. The Bible wasn't just spoken about, its words were spoken to us. And so my mom really was an incredible example of having and using God's word in her life, and she wanted to know that, and so she spent a lot of time in it. And I'd like to think that my Bible, this is a copy of my Bible, looks a little bit like hers did, all torn and tattered and written in and all that, because hopefully I've been in this, reading this, and so on. So big lesson learned there. My mother believed that Scripture is the key way that the triune God is revealed to us. The importance of Scripture has been shown through the life of Jesus as well. He read Scripture, he quoted Scripture, he taught from Scripture. There is power in the Word of God. Prayer was also very important in communing with God, and in the process of prayer, we align our spirit and will with His will. We always did family devotions. I mean, sometimes it got missed, but normally we'd do family devotions, and my brother and I would be encouraged at a young age to pray. And of course, we were involved in a church growing up, and so lots of opportunity to pray, and prayer was an important part of what we did in our home, and it was an important part of her life as I was able to witness her sitting with her head bowed, just quietly praying. So the faith lesson, the importance of spiritual disciplines, particularly Scripture reading and prayer. For the moment, this is Hebrews 12:11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And then Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's Proverbs 12:1. So my mom was certainly not stupid, and learned a lot. So that was faith lesson number two, the importance of Scripture reading and prayer. All right, faith lesson number three. And again, the story I shared with you in terms of my mom's life, this kind of really shines a light on this one. Number three is we run to God, not away from God, when we are dealt the blows in life. Scripture for that is Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The story of my mom is really the first story I told. Time and time again, my mother was dealt some difficult situations. I was young and unaware of the impact that these must have had. A husband dying, losing her career, chronic health issues. And as an adult, I now have a better sense of how significant some of these situations would have been for her. My mother never faltered in her pursuit of seeking the Lord through all or in all these difficult times. It allowed her to be a rock in the crushing waves of life. And I look back on my life, and I would say there really was very little difference in our family and how our family interacted and how I grew up as a kid in terms of having a good family and upbringing and opportunities and different things. Certainly, we didn't have the money to do all the stuff, but we still did lots of things. And we really didn't view my upbringing much different than a lot of other kids. Like, there wasn't this, like, big juxtaposition there. And so my mom, through that and through her steadfastness, was able to continue on, get up every day and move forward and live, you know, a normal life with the help of the Lord Jesus and the help of God in the midst of all of that. And my mom, through all of that, led us to and modeled a life with God in all circumstances. In many circumstances, people often blame God when hard things happen, and we can understand that.
But my mom believed there was no wisdom in blaming God when bad things happen. And we were taught that God often does not interfere with the natural order of this world, and that the natural order of this world has been marred by sin in the garden. And as a result, there's sickness, death, and evil, and they're all part of our world. And I can remember very, very minorly, but as a five-year-old, trying to grapple with the fact that my dad would die and what and why, and my mom helping us to try and understand that and how God fit into that. And instead of, you know, putting anger towards God or blaming God, that wasn't the message. And that death is a part of our world. And it's not nice, it's not fair, but it is. And God doesn't always interfere in that natural order. God will normally let us receive the consequences of human actions, resulting both from our individual actions, but also actions of the broader community, either, you know, a family or a bigger community or a country or a whole people. God is sovereign, but allows mankind freedom, and with freedom comes the results of the decisions made in that freedom. And we know that this is required in order for mankind to be able to make a real choice to worship God. God will not make us love him. God does and will from time to time intervene, and we certainly should ask him to, but not always. And certainly my mother's life is a testimony to God not intervening in all times, but God intervening in other times, because we were always provided for. There are lots of great stories of how God allowed through other people, and we'll talk about that one next, to come alongside our family. And so we praise God for who he is in the good and the bad, because God is not different in those situations. Unfortunately, it's been my observation a lot of times when difficult situations happen, people seem to either walk away from the church or walk away from God, and that's sad. My mother's difficult situations were not taken away by God, but she lived a life that did not blame him, but rather held to his promise that he would provide hope and peace in these difficult times. She never wavered, and this is my hope and prayer, that I won't waver when difficult things come my way. So the faith lesson for that one is God is our refuge and strength when difficulties arise, not if. Because they will. Our view of God here is important, and we need to look to God in times of trouble and not run from him. And finally, number four, the fourth lesson. God provides wisdom for life through others, and we must invite them in. The scripture for this one is Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And my story, a mom for this one, is that in my later high school years, my mother and I were discussing what my path should be after high school, particularly around education. And we had talked about it, and, you know, I had certain kinds of ideas. I was really interested in construction and had done a lot of construction work part-time all through high school. We had a family in our church that owned a construction company and always enjoyed working with them and learning from them and that kind of thing. So there was kind of like, okay, there's that. I was also very interested in business and hospitality and tourism and that kind of thing. And so we had a bunch of things that were kind of swirling around as options. And then, of course, I had the whole, you know, sort of the faith side of thing. And how does, you know, what would a ministry life look like? And is Bible college? And what might that be? And so my mom was very quick. She was always very quick. And, of course, she had lived her life really dependent on others as a young mother, single mother. And so for her to ask someone for advice or for help, or no problem.
She would do it, and she really saw the community of the church and people in her life as resources that God had provided to her. And so she would always, hey, why don't you talk to someone who, you know, whatever, is in that career now, full-time, what's it like, or talk to someone here, whatever. And so I did all that. And so I was getting closer to formulating sort of a plan and a path. And my mother finally said, you know what would be really good, now that you kind of have, you've gone and done all this, is to take all this information, and why don't you call the elders of the church, sit down with them, and discuss it all with them, and see what they say. And I was like, I'm like 17, 18 or something. I was like, okay. And picked up the phone, called the leader of the elders. I said, hey, in one of your meetings, would you have, you know, 15 or 20 minutes or whatever for me to come and talk about my life with you and what I should do? And I think my mom sort of saw that as, you know, is there some other godly wisdom? You know, your dad's not here. It's just you and I. Like, is there more people we could invite into this discussion? And hey, we have elders in a church that are there who are wise, who want to guide and direct. They don't want to just deal with the stuff that's hard to deal with in a church. They actually want to come alongside, like pastors and shepherds and so on. So away I went. I'm sitting in this meeting. And, of course, it was not a huge church. We'd gone there my whole life. I knew all of these gentlemen. They knew me well. It was an incredible experience. And shared everything that I was thinking about and doing. And they kind of gave me some thoughts and some things and confirmation or whatever. And we kind of together said, okay, this looks like a good path or plan. And I ended up doing exactly what we decided to do out of that meeting, which was really cool because I knew I had all of these guys rooting for me, praying for me. If I ran into a difficult time, I could go and sit with them, and they were part of this. They were part of this decision, and I'll never forget that. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And my mother was the one to suggest to do that. And she knew she had to rely on others in her own situation and for our family in order for us to move forward and survive. And it was as she did that and invited people in and was so very involved in our church, we knew we had other people cheering us on. And my mother was instrumental in knowing and teaching me and knowing the importance of inviting wisdom into our lives from others. So my mother believed that Christian community in all its shapes and forms has the main goal of encouraging its members and pursuing us to Christ's likeness. We are created to live an authentic Christian community, both with God and with other people. The need for help has always been a part of God's plan for us. We're never created to live on our own. Right from the garden, we're always been created to be in community. And God provides incredible people in our midst. The people that God provides to us are an incredible resource. We need to build that community around us, and we need to submit to it. Asking for help acknowledges the truth of our need and God's grace. It's a humbling posture for us, but an important one. Asking for help is a blessing to others, and it rallies them to our side. We are also to be part of the wisdom and support of others, and there's no better way to give and receive mutual support than through the church. Church involvement was a great priority in my home growing up. Serving in the church was just a natural, expected part of being a part of a church, not a spectator's sport. I heard, and as a note too, my dad had passed away, but for years before my dad took sick and even before my brother and I were born, my father was very involved in church. And so even as a teenager, I'd be doing something or helping out at church or something, and some older gentleman who knew my father would share something about, oh, your dad used to do. And so the whole part of my family, and that my mother continued on involved in serving in church. And so the faith lesson there is that God provides wisdom through other believers. Christian community involvement and submission to it are part of God's plan for us.
And among so many other benefits to community involvement, we certainly will receive wisdom. So those are the four life lessons of probably thousands of life lessons that, you know, we all learn from our mothers. But these, as I sat down, were kind of the first ones that came to my mind and really have stuck with me and have been an important part of my life. And so thank you for letting me share those with you this morning. And I just encourage you to think about those things as you think about lessons even from your own mother or other people of faith that have come before you. And I'm certainly thankful that my mother is one of those and continues to be to this day. And so I'm grateful for my mom, and hopefully you've got some things to ponder there for yourself as well. Let's just pray. Father, we again thank you for mothers, and we're so grateful for them. And Father, I'm thankful for my own mother, and I'm thankful for the things that she taught me. A few of those we've been able to think about this morning. Father, I pray that God's word would continue to be the authority of my life, and that for people here in this room, they would also make that decision, that we would spend time reading your word and in prayer. And Father, in the midst of the difficult times of life, that we would run to you and your people in those times of difficulty and not away. And finally, Father, thank you that you place us in Christian community, and thank you for all the benefits of that. And one of those certainly is wisdom for our own lives. So thank you. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for my mother. And we give you, just the praise for this whole plan of a family and a mother and a father and, all of that, Father. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.